Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Sunday School. For those of us who grew up in Sunday school, there are stories from the Bible that we will never forget. We are taking a fresh look at these stories and placing them into the context of the greater biblical story. To watch any of our previous messages or learn more about what is happening at Valley Brook, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc. Enjoy!
Well, good morning, everybody that's here in the house, everybody that's online. We're glad you're here. We're in the middle of this series, and we're calling it Sunday School. Now, for some of you, if you grew up going to Sunday School as a child, that might bring up some familiar memories. So basically this, we're looking at some of those stories that are basic kind of stories that are always taught to children through their growing up years, but we're going to be looking at them from an adult perspective. So no prior Bible knowledge is needed. So whether you've never looked at the Bible or if you're a Bible nerd, you're going to enjoy this time. And so here's one big value that I think is important for us to just to hold on. And it's a core value that we think it's important to know. We believe that all of Scripture, all of the stories in the Bible are part of the unified story of faith that points to Jesus. So let me ask you a question. You ever had one of those experiences when you know what was right to do, but you didn't do it? I can think of a bunch. There was that time that I was doing some homeowner electric work, and I thought I turned off the right breaker, and I grabbed the outlet, and then I found myself lying against the wall behind me. There was that time, you've heard this one, where I didn't think I was going too fast on the highway in New York, but the New York State Patrol did, and they fined me for that. So yes, there are many of those times, I think, that we can all think of where we knew what was the right thing to do, but we didn't do it. Today, we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament. It's the story of Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. And we're going to see the first example of worship in Scripture. And sadly, we're going to see the story of the first murder in Scripture. So if you have a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 4. If you don't, no worries, it's going to be on the screen behind me. So Genesis chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of the crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at your door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out to the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth. Cain replied to the Lord, "My punishment is too great for me to bear. You have banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me." The Lord replied, "No, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. There's a lot going on in this passage, and I want to start with those first acts of worship recorded in Scripture. Let me read it again. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering did not look with favor. So we don't have all of the details of the conversations that God had with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, but at some point, we understand that God instructed them on worship, on what worship was and how to give an acceptable offering of worship to God. So why was Abel's gift accepted and why was Cain's gift not accepted? Was it because one offering was an animal and the other offering was from crops? Well, students of the Bible will point out that the Bible clearly shows that there were worship offerings of both animals and crops, that they were acceptable to God. And in fact, we see these instructions in the book of Leviticus. It shows us how both of these offerings are received. So I'll just share a couple of verses from the book of Leviticus. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. This is where we get the understanding that we're supposed to give a tithe to God in our offerings, a tenth of our earnings. So, let's go back to verses 3 and 4. You get some clues from the actual words of those scriptures. In verse 3, it says that Cain just brought some of his crops to give to God. But in verse 4, it says Abel brought something special and specific, the fat portions of the firstborn of his flock. Just in that description, we see the difference. Cain's offering is described as some of the fruits of the soil, which is just very general. But Abel's offering is very specific and special. Abel's sacrifice is described as the fat portions of the firstborn of the flock. So what's going on here? In the Old Testament, in the first five books of the Bible, there it's known as the Torah, it's known as the law, and it gives specific instructions on how to worship God. And those instructions tell people how to worship God with their offerings by always giving God the best of their offerings. So look at these two commands from the law of Moses. Bring the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. So first fruits were considered to be the best of the harvest. It's supposed to be the first part of the crop that's always considered to be the best. It's had the best sun, the best rain, everything. Then that's regarding crops or fruit. Then regarding livestock, it says, set apart for the Lord, your God, every firstborn male of your herds and flock. So the firstborn of the animals was considered to be the best. And since the firstborn animals were considered to be the best, if you gave God an animal in worship, you would give him the firstborn. You were instructed to do so. And if you raise crops, you would give them the first fruits of the crop. Now, back to the animals. The best part of the animal to give was considered the fat portion, which would be offered on a sacrificial fire and given as a fragrant aroma to God. So Abel gave God the best of one of his firstborn animals, the fatty portions. That's why Abel and his worship offering was accepted. On the other hand, Cain just gave some of the harvest, just some of his crops. It wasn't the first fruit, so it wasn't the best, and therefore neither Cain nor his worship offering was accepted by God. But here's the thing. Cain could have given the first fruits if he had wanted to. In fact, even after it says that God rejected him and his offering, we read that while Cain was very angry and dejected, what God says next implies that Cain was aware of what was right and acceptable as a form of worship. God says, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. You know what is right to do. Are you doing it?" So it seems that Cain did know what was right to do, but he didn't do it. Now, here's an important insight from scholars. Regarding the offerings given to God by Cain and Abel, the contrast is not between an offering of plant life and an offering of animal life, but between a careless, thoughtless offering and a choice, generous offering. Motivation and heart attitude are all important. And God looked with favor on Abel and his offering because of Abel's faith. In the book of Hebrews, we see this idea supported also about Abel's offering. This is what it says. "It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts." In his faithfulness to God, he was motivated to give God his best, as he was instructed to do. But for whatever reason, Cain seems not to have cared about giving God his best. His relationship with God was not the same as Abel's. He just went through the motions and gave him some of his harvest. After Cain sinned against God by not making an acceptable offering, and after God doesn't accept him, Cain gets angry. God sees this and he pries Cain with some questions. He says, "Why are you angry? Why do you look so dejected?" It's interesting. Scholars will point out that there's a parallel here between the story of Adam and Eve and the story of Cain and Abel. After Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned, it says they tried to hide from God. And what does God do next? He pries them with some questions. He asks them where they are. And when they say they're hiding, they said, "Well, we're hiding because we're naked and ashamed." And then God says, "Well, who told you you were naked?" So at that point, obviously, God understands that they disobeyed him. But here's the thing. God doesn't scold them. God is not scolding them. He's pursuing them to restore their relationship with God. And he wants them to admit their sin and to repent. And that's the same thing that we see going on here with God and Cain. So after he asks Cain those two questions, he says to him, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." Again, God isn't scolding Cain. He's pursuing him. He wants to restore that relationship with Cain. So he warns him. He warns him about the temptation. We're all tempted, but we need to draw a line where temptation would go from being temptation only and to being sin. And so he says, "Listen, sin is crouching at your door like a lion that's ready to pounce and attack you." So God says, "You need to subdue the beast of sin and master it." This too is reminiscent of God's warning to Cain's parents. He says, "You're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for then when you eat from it, you will certainly die." So God's warning to Adam and Eve and God's warning to Cain implies that there's a choice to sin or not to sin, to do the right thing or to do the wrong thing. Cain had a choice. He had free will. We all have free will. I don't know if you're a fan of John Steinbeck, but one of his novels deals with this whole issue of free will. You may have read it before. It's called East of Eden. In East of Eden, there's this multi-generational family conflict that goes on, and in a very poignant part of the novel, they get to this point where they're actually discussing this very verse in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. And they come across this Hebrew word. It's called Timshel, and it means thou mayest. So let me just read to you. Now, this is not scripture. Let me just read you this from Steinbeck's novel. So they're actually discussing different translations of the Bible, so you'll catch on to that. The speaker says, the American Standard Translation orders men to triumph over sin, and you can call sin ignorance. Then he goes on and says, the King James Translation makes a promise in thou shalt, meaning that men will surely triumph over sin. He said, but the Hebrew word, the word timshel, thou mayest, that gives a choice. It might be the most important word in the world. That says the way is open. That throws it right back on the man. For if thou mayest, it is also true that thou mayest not. So back to Genesis chapter 4. In those words, God is warning Cain, and that warning implies that he could choose to sin or he could choose not to sin. And while God says you will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. So in saying that, we can see that while God tells us we must subdue the desire to sin, the choice to obey is always ours. We can choose to do the right thing, or we can choose to do the wrong thing. That, unfortunately, is the nature of being human. We can choose to obey God, or we can choose to disobey God. And we know from the text that Cain chooses to disobey God, and he sins even more. He murders his brother. And then the rest of the story, we see how God punishes Cain for his sins. Now, as I said earlier, we believe that all the stories in the Bible are part of a unified story that point to Jesus. And the story of Cain and Abel illustrates our struggle, humanity's struggle, with the choice to sin or to not sin. And as a student of the Bible, you will read this from the beginning of the pages of the Bible all the way through the end, that we are called to obey the commands of God. But we also realize that there's a choice. And like Cain, Scripture tells us that all humans are sinners and that God sent Jesus to redeem us from our sins. After Cain sinned with his half-hearted offering, God gave him a chance to repent, to admit that he had sinned, to ask for forgiveness, and turn from that type of behavior. That's exactly what God does for us. He gives us the opportunity when we sin to confess our sin, to apologize, to admit it, confess it, and turn in a different direction. Whenever we find that we have done something that we shouldn't do, that's what we should go to God and ask for forgiveness. Confess the sins and repent, turn away from it. And if it involves somebody that we've sinned against, we need to ask for their forgiveness also. Then going forward, we need to embrace the teaching of Scripture to guide us away from sin, just like God wanted Cain to be guided away. And that's why he said, listen, sin is crouching at your door. This is something that we actually see very similar teaching in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter says this, "Stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." And then in the letter that James, the apostle, the brother of Jesus, wrote, he says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." So, as followers of Jesus, we have to submit ourselves to God and reflect on the actions of both Abel and Cain. So let's reflect on Abel just for a second. When it comes to making an offering to God, Abel gave his best. We see that he gave his best from his material wealth, his flocks, okay? And yes, we're supposed to give God our best in our offerings and our tithes. Now, when we see that Abel didn't hold back in his material offerings and he gave his best, we can see that Abel's example extends to his faith in God and his trust of God, and we can see the motivation of his heart. So each one of us needs to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, are we trusting God? Are we giving God our best? And our attitudes and our actions and our offerings and our worship? Ask yourself that. Now let's reflect on Cain. When it came to making an offering to God, he didn't give his best. He just gave a token offering, some of his material wealth. That offering does something, reveals something very clearly. It reveals his lack of commitment to God, his unmotivated attitude toward God. And when God called out his behavior and invited him to repent and to be forgiven and to make a recommitment to God with the promise that he would be accepted if he did so, Cain ignored it. He ignored God's offer of grace. He ignored God's warning to not be devoured by sin, and he chose sinful behavior and was punished for it. So we need to examine our own hearts and ask ourselves, are we following the way of Cain and letting sinful behavior and attitudes devour us and push us away from God? Or will we receive God's offer of grace and forgiveness and recommit to following him? The choice is always before us to choose to sin or not to sin. So I want to encourage you to reflect on Cain and Abel's lives and their sacrifices that they made to God. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward, but as I do so, I want to move into a time of prayer. And here's something that's really important. You know, you may be here today and you're sort of checking out what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I hope what you've heard today is to be a follower of Jesus means you're making a commitment to God to believe in him, to believe in what he teaches in Scripture, to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And the way that we start that relationship of belief is we start by telling him that we do believe in him. And then we ask him for forgiveness for our sins. And we commit to following him. So I want to move into a time of prayer. And if you've never told God this, I'm going to give you some words that you can copy and just pray silently back to God, or you can put those words just the way you want to. And then I'm just going to pray for all of us that we can take this scripture about Cain and Abel and let it be something we reflect on and guide how we offer all that we have and all that we are to God. So let's pray. God, as we come here today, we're grateful for your word and what it teaches us. And I know there may be someone here today who's really never said that they want to start a relationship with you. So if that's you, I invite you to put these words in your own words and pray them back to God silently. Dear God, I do believe in Jesus. I believe that you sent Jesus to pay the price for my sins. And I ask forgiveness for my sins. And I commit to following Jesus from this day on. Help me to be a faithful follower of you for the rest of my life. And we'll say amen to that prayer. Now, Lord, I pray for each one of us that as we reflect on the story of Cain and Abel, that we see what is right to do and that we do it. And if we fail and make a mistake, that we come back to you, that we repent, we confess our sins, and we restore our relationship with you. Lord, we love you and we want to give you our best. We want to be men and women who glorify you in the words that we speak and the actions that we commit and in the way we live our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Valley Brook as we engage in this series. To learn more about the life of our church and how you can get involved, visit www.valleybrook.cc. If you're interested in contributing financially to Valley Brook and to our ministry, you can do so at valleybrook.cc/give. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message blesses you and encourages you to love God, love people, and change the world.